Hey, how you doing? Got a quick thought that I want to share with you here. Out of Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 28. The Bible says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." And I got to thinking about that. And the landmarks back then, they were used to mark the boundary for property lines. And of course, you know, to move them was to give yourself more property from your neighbor, to take property from your neighbor, to, you know, help settle your own personal disputes. Well, you see what a landmark is, obviously, you're on my property, so on and so forth there. But there's another thing. Those ancient landmarks that we're not supposed to move, in a spiritual sense, where God has established some things that we are supposed to continue to go by. Paul wrote that these things were written for our ensamples, our examples, in other words. What we see there from the Old Testament people, what we see in the New Testament, these people have established things for us, established goings for us, ways that we should be going about doing things here. They gathered together to worship the Lord, to serve the Lord. These people, they got together here. They wanted to sing the praises of God. They wanted to do studies in the Holy Word that they had. They wanted to hear the preaching. They wanted to hear the singing. They passed on the news. Hey, we've got this going on over here. Come and see. And you know, I mean, even when you get there in the book of Acts, you know, chapter number 19, there's Paul in the city of Corinth, and he's there for a year and a half. And most Bible scholars believe that the seven churches that are recorded there in the book of Revelation got their start from Paul there in Corinth. The church in Colossae that received the epistle to the Colossians, as well as to Philemon getting his letter, came about because Paul spent a year and a half there in Corinth. He was establishing some landmarks there, and the boundaries were brought out there by the people. The people were going into Colossae for higher education in their preferred areas, and they were leaving with higher education. They were leaving having received the word of God, having gotten saved, taking this new sect, this Christianity, this way back to their home cities. And they began to grow and began to flourish. And so churches started popping up all over that Paul had never even been to, because he sat down and said, "I'm going to serve the Lord right here this way." And these churches, they began to follow the same principle. They taught, they raised up disciples, they trained men to be preachers, they trained couples to go out on the mission field, and more churches began to be established, and the gospel began to reach all across the globe because they got together. Nowadays, us, our getting together is, hey, homecoming, let's all gather together and eat. Oh, hey, we're gonna have this one individual come in and you know, come on and check it out, and that's it. Because we don't get together that much anymore for our quote unquote revival meetings. We don't get together all that much anymore for our jubilees. We're too busy saying, "Well, I've gotten offended by somebody. I don't want nothing to do with them. You know what? If it was closer to the house, I would do it. You know what? I don't feel like it. You know what? I got work I'll just be too tired." And we're coming up with all these excuses, and those excuses are moving the ancient landmarks, the ones that have been established long ago. And what that's doing is that's separating our churches, separating them one from another here. And so is that we don't have that combined strength. We're supposed to be, you know, getting together. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. That applies to more than just on the local assembly level. That applies to our churches. All of the local churches, local assemblies coming together. But we've got our excuses. Those excuses remove landmarks. You know, I'm sorry, it's just a bridge too far for me to go. I'm sorry, I'm too busy, I've got this, that, and the other thing. And we're not getting the strength that we need. And that's why churches are dying. That's why it's so critically important right now for our churches to be training men to preach. To make sure they're God called, but training them to preach, to be able to go out there and teach the Word of God. Training couples to go out there. You know what? Sometimes that missionary field is not in the deepest, darkest parts of Africa. It's not all the way down in Australia. It's not learning Spanish so you can go to Mexico or Honduras or something like that. Sometimes that missionary trip that is needed, that missionary family that is needed, is to go to the other side of town and help rebuild a church. Help go and encourage the brethren over there. Start drawing strength one from another here. Start rebuilding. Because we have been decimated here these past few decades. The church of God, not church of God, but the church of God, but we are falling apart here, and the ones doing it is ourselves. Because we're too busy moving these ancient landmarks to where it's more comfortable and convenient for us. Ask Paul how convenient it was for him to be marching all over the place there, however many years it was that he was a missionary on those three missionary trips. That's not even including the fourth trip over to Rome. Ask him how convenient that was. Ask him how comfortable he was. He wrote the book of Philippians from a prison cell. And the book of Philippians is all about joy. It wasn't comfortable. It wasn't convenient. But it was necessary. It was for the cause of Christ. He was going about trying to encourage people. He was going about doing his best to serve his Lord, exhorting one another, gathering people together, not staying apart. And I realize that some of the issue there is also the fact that we're really not spreading the news that much anymore about, hey, we've got this meeting coming up. Hey, let's go check it out. Our church has got homecoming coming up. Let's go check it out. And I know that there are churches who are afraid that they're going to lose members over that other church there. That's especially prevalent down south, leastwise where my folks are. But we've got to get over this mindset of we're going to lose people. The people belong to God, not to the pastor, not to the church, to God. So if God moves them over there, God moves them over there. If they go over on their own, you know, that's on them, not, you know, but we need to start coming together here. Stop moving the ancient landmarks. That's divide and conquer, and we're doing it on behalf of Satan. He loves to divide and conquer. And we're sitting here saying, hey, no problem, I'll help you because it's going to strengthen me. It ain't going to strengthen you. No. Let's get together. Let's not move the ancient landmarks. Let's get together. Let's not move the ancient landmarks. There, I said it again. I'm going to say it again. Let's get together. Let's not move the ancient landmarks, church. Because the further they get apart, the worse it's going to get. And I realize, you know, as we approach the period of the rapture and the great tribulation period, I get that it's going to get bad. I get that as we study out what the Bible teaches about that time period leading up, it's got that spiral effect there, and it just keeps on growing. Does not mean, though, that we need to contribute to it because, well, I've just got to have my way. I know things feel like they're flying apart. And when you're in such a spiral, yes, that's exactly what is going on there. Eventually, centrifugal force is just going to throw it all out there. Okay? But it doesn't mean we have to cooperate with that. We have been called to stand. Stand. Not fly apart. Stand. Called to come together. Not separate. Come together. Stand. Leave the ancient landmarks alone. Let God be God. And let Christians be the Christians we're supposed to be, not the Christians we want to be. Something for you to think about.